Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
I am Gaius. I'm in Londinium. It is live on a gloomy night. And we're going to speak of regicide, which has everybody perking up in the back of the room. Dramaticus is here. Not any regicide. The regicide of 1642 to 1649, sometimes known as the English Civil War, the Civil War of Britain. The conditions are these. The Long Parliament, so-called because it never recessed, has claimed prerogatives that Charles I, the king, inheriting the crown from his father, James I. These are Scots. They were both born in Edinburgh, but they ruled Great Britain, Scotland, England, Wales, Ireland. These are Scots now, and so they're not exactly local boys to the English. There's a division of Catholic and Protestant, Church of England. There are dissenters, but we're not going to bother with them right now. They come up later, called Puritans. We're going to spend time with regicide itself because the king entertained killing his enemies in 1641-42. He tried to trap two of his Scottish embassies at Hollywood, enemies at Hollywood House, and he was betrayed. It didn't happen. He had to claim he wasn't. He was going to kill them. That was Charles's way of solving things. Okay, kings can go to that extreme measure right away because they're protecting the crown. And then when he moved to London, he conceived a plot where he was going to abduct five or six members of the Long Parliament, put them in the Tower, and then kill them. And that would have ended the disruption that was present as the Parliament kept claiming powers that were the king's powers. Power to call out the militia, power to tax, power to pass rules about who can and can't be named to be bishops. All that was the real power. And Charles broke with the Long Parliament, raised the battle flag at Cambridge, I believe, and the Civil War began between the parliamentarians and the royalists. It ended, however, with Charles's capture, refusing to defend himself in open court, condemned to death, and then his head was cut off in a public display of parliamentarian authority. That is regicide. That's the regicide that all English history turns on, right there, 1649. Now, why that's important is that regicide is routinely part of kingship. Emperors that we know, our education, Emperor Augustus is said to have died in his sleep. Good for him. He's a god now. Tiberius, there's some question as to how he died. Caligula, he was assassinated by the Praetorian Guard. Claudius, he was poisoned by his mother. Nero, he had to commit suicide, but he needed the help of his assistant to kill himself. That was the Julian-Claudian range. And the reason they were all moved to self-destruction or being butchered by their own private guard is because of regicide. It's routinely entertained when you're dealing with an emperor or a king. It's always there. You're not a bad person because you think about it. However, Germanicus, it comes to me in making this presentation quickly between 1642 and the 21st century, that practicing regicide is part of the opposition thinking in a kingship or an empire or a republic, however you fancy yourself. I'm uncertain, however, that the present day regicidal entertainment by the opposition to the emperor is self-aware that they're entering into a tradition of regicide. And I think that lack of awareness, it's not exactly a weakness, but it's a wild card. How do you read it?
Well, we live in a world that is unself-aware and yet believes that it is fully aware, and furthermore believes that it knows everything because it has access to everything. We have AI, after all. But the fact is that there are dimensions to our world that we do not allow ourselves to access and therefore cannot access. And one of them is one of the great continuities in civilization, and that is the emergence of the institution of sacred kingship. And it can call itself any number of things, a chieftain, a first citizen, emperor, but it always has a ritual ceremonial element to its authority that we don't understand. And we can't, for example, easily establish in our own minds and imagination the lineal descent that we occupy from Augustus, so that the person of Augustus as sacred king, although he wasn't called that, to George Washington, who was America's first sacred king, although he didn't call himself that. The fact is that the essence of the sacred king is that his authority is representative of and actually embodies the totality of the society itself. So in the monarch's body is the body of the citizens. I mean, you see this as the cover illustration in Thomas Hobbes' Leviathan. It is metaphorical, but it is also ritually visceral, and it is celebrated in ceremony, whether the ceremony is a coronation or an inauguration. And in the case of the Stuart, you know, Charles Stuart, Charles I, whether or not he was seen to be out of line, he was nonetheless the embodiment of the nation. And so to kill him was a stripping away of the legitimacy of those who did the act. In other words, if you look at Rome when you had the killing of an emperor, it was legitimate to kill an emperor if that emperor had betrayed his mission, like Caligula, or other emperors who absolutely not merely failed, but threatened the body politic, literally, of the nation. However, to slay a king who was not only still the embodiment of the nation, but who had not sufficiently betrayed it, and therefore the killing was capricious, and this was seen by many Englishmen as being the case with Charles, but also in hindsight, this happened in France with the guillotining of Louis the 16th, and then, of course, the murder execution of Nicholas II and his family. That is a ritual act, a kind of a ceremony of delegitimation. And in the case of Charles I, we know that it was a very quick delegitimation in the sense that the Commonwealth, the Lord Protectorship, if you will, of Cromwell, did not survive his death in just a few years after the death of Charles, and the regicides themselves were quickly executed, those that they could get a hold of. And this is a turnaround, because there is a proper way to get rid of an emperor, and emperors who are highly successful, or even if they're not successful, who are not in some sense evil or a threat to the body politic, that becomes a kind of attack on the nation itself. And so the nation, like the body, rejects those who did it.
I want to make certain you acknowledge that the opposition to Emperor Trump is unaware of the regicidal plans.
Yes, and the problem here, Mr. Trump may become a threat to the body politic, but that is not the case at the moment, in the sense that there half the nation strongly supports him to some extent or another, and he has without doubt, millions of faithful who embrace him completely. So this is not something to entertain lightly. So what we were talking about last segment in terms of the division of the country then becomes foremost in our consideration here, because the worst thing that could happen would be for regicide to be committed against the sacred king when half of the nation, you know, would rise up if that were done. And this is, we came very close in Butler, and it's something that would be a trigger for a general conflict among the factions. And I don't think the people who want the Trump regicide fully understand that. And yet they should, because all of their attempts to commit a regicide when he was not or no longer at that time the sacred king, he was simply a candidate. Those attempts not only failed, but they strengthened him and propelled him back into the sacred office, as it were.
Germanicus and I are in Londinium, and we're speculating about something that is not going to happen. However, it has happened before, which is worthwhile, makes it worthwhile to discuss. Regicide has an aspect to it that is unlike any other ceremony. It's undying. It never ends. It transfers from man to man or man to woman, but it continues. It's the office that the opposition is trying to slay, and it cannot be slain in a republic or an aristocratic constitution like England, constitutional monarchy is their fancy way of putting it, or even in a kingdom that has merit, that has a regional merit. You can't kill the office. They kill the man, the king, but not the office. And the office itself is all-powerful and remains all-powerful, which is why we have great confidence in our emperor, even though, note, we didn't speak against Domitian. Germanicus, did I speak against Domitian? I certainly didn't hear you. No.
Absolutely not.
That would be unwise, given his role in our lives. We're going on now to the theater, where the centurions and their friends have agreed to stage a mock opening moves of Cannae. It happened, the 3rd century BCE to Orient. A man named Hannibal was marching through Italy, and Varro and Paulus, two consuls, showed up with a Roman army and allowed themselves to be completely outflanked. We're not going to get into the outflanking part. We're told in the mock battle tonight, it's the opening rounds, a river, a village, a frontier, front line, elephants, that sort of thing, very fancy. Now, the elephants are not actually going to be played by elephants. There are no elephants in Londinium. We have stand-ins for elephants. You have to imagine them. It should be great entertainment. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius. Germanicus is here. The peace plan continues. We'll comment on it a week from now. The French are magnificent in their self-awareness, a model for Americans. And regicide is in the field, and it will remain in the field. I'm John Batchelor.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue, the $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.